5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. We cover lots of different topics of interest around Douglas County. One topic that a lot of folks have been talking about is the impact of Measure 110. We're going to cover that and talk about a meeting as well that was held yesterday in Portland. Former state lawmaker and former Republican candidate for governor Christine Drazen is on with us. Christine, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Kyle. It's good to be back.
So, first of all, what led to having this meeting yesterday?
You and I have talked before about an organization that I launched called A New Direction, and that organization exists to elevate the most pressing issues facing our state and to serve as a megaphone for those people who are working collaboratively to strengthen quality of life. And having a conversation about addiction is one of those pressing issues for our state. And so I was grateful to have the opportunity to bring people together across party lines and certainly across the spectrum to be able to talk about what is happening in the legislature and what the real impacts are for people in communities across the metro area. And what's the perspective of law enforcement and DAs, what's broken, what needs to be fixed. Because the thing that isn't happening when it comes to responding to addiction right now in our state is we are not being clear enough about what our goals are as a state. I think that in particular, even when the state has defined recovery, they have not included this idea that recovery actually represents lifelong sobriety, a pursuit of lifelong sobriety. Instead, recovery is something about wellness and the individual choices and health of the person. That's setting the mark too low. And so the opportunity to have conversations about the impacts of addiction and Measure 110 in our state is an opportunity to remind people that we need to do right by Oregonians who voted in Measure 110. And I have supported repealing Measure 110 because I feel really strongly that it's a pro-drug measure. Oregonians supported it, I believe, to support treatment, but instead the results have been really devastating across our state. So yesterday's roundtable was through A New Direction, and it was an opportunity to elevate those issues.
What types of groups did you invite to this roundtable yesterday?
You know, we had State Representative Christine Goodwin at the table. She serves on the Joint Interim Committee on Addiction and Community Safety Response, which is an important voice to include. She and I both agree that repeal of Measure 110 is the right place to start as we work toward providing additional treatment and supports to people that need help. First, we need to repeal this misguided measure. We also invited Representative Rob Nose, who's a Democrat on that same committee. We invited a pastor who represents the Coalition of African American Pastors in the Portland area, some folks from the peer support community, people that actually provide services to get people into recovery through both the Adult and Teen Challenge organization, as well as an organization called Helping Hands Reentry Outreach Centers. We had some folks from the Lentz neighborhood who shared with us how the drug crisis is so bad in their neighborhood. People feel like prisoners in their own homes. Their children can't go outside and play in their front yards. They have to keep their doors locked at all times. And then, of course, we had the Marion County DA and the Portland Police Association president, as well as the local mayor, to talk about some of the impacts on public safety and quality of life from their perspective.
How diverse were people's opinions about the situation?
You know, there was a consistency across the conversations yesterday that people really, really recognize how dire the need is in Oregon to do something about addiction. And we really parted ways in some cases under whether or not Measure 110 should be repealed. In particular, you know, the Democrat Rob Nose, who is, you know, in leadership in a lot of capacities in his own party in the House, the Democrats in charge in Salem don't want to consider repeal of 110. And they really, really don't want to do very much with that measure. And so that really, those are probably the bookends of the possible approaches to how do we resolve this addiction crisis. But the people who were facing these challenges every day on behalf of their local communities or their neighborhood association, or frankly, you know, some of their congregations when it comes to the pastors that were present, they recognize that what we're doing isn't working. And I think that the other thing that was really, really compelling in those conversations yesterday was that this idea that harm reduction, which Measure 110 has an approach that's what they call low barrier and a focus on harm reduction, that harm reduction can be really important if what you're doing is providing someone medication to recover from an overdose like Narcan, but harm reduction can be really harmful to them if what you're doing is enabling continued drug use. So some of the details of 110, it became really clear that people that are in the provider community that are treating people that want to seek help that are facing addiction, that they don't across the board support a lot of the provisions that are in the ballot measure that was passed that really do enable continued drug use rather than giving people a pathway to get into treatment.
Now, you've talked about repealing the measure, but obviously it's not so simple when your party's in the minority and it appears the majority of Democrats favor retaining it.
No doubt. And I think that that's equally important that we have our voices heard. And if you look at how Measure 110 was framed for voters, I understand how it passed. The Attorney General created a ballot title for that Oregonians had to judge that measure by, that really made it look like what they were supporting was treatment. It was recovery. That ballot measure did not say really clearly, we're going to decriminalize heroin and meth, and we're going to, you know, decriminalize cocaine, and we're going to say that we're neutral on those drugs. It didn't say that. It said, you know, support for this, a yes vote means that you're going to require the creation of treatment centers. And so that's part of the problem that we're facing, is that what Oregonians were voting for and what they actually got are two very different things. And along the way, if Democrats choose not to repeal 110 and they choose to keep it in place, it matters how they approach changes to that measure. Even if they fall short of repeal, then it matters what they keep and what they, in fact, improve on. And I believe really strongly that we have got to set a standard where we believe that that recovery is the ideal, that a long-term life of abstinence and sobriety is what we're going for. We want prevention in our schools. We don't want to act like drugs are neutral. They're harmful. And instead, Measure 110 definitely takes a neutral position on it. And if you just look at the question of kids, Measure 110 treated kids just like adults. So I know that is something that people don't talk about all the time, but Oregon's teenagers are dying at a faster rate than any other state in the nation from overdoses. We're talking 666% increase between 2019 and 2021 alone. There were 73 deaths in 2021. And this is part of the problem. Under Measure 110, it's just as legal for an adult to have all of these hard drugs as it is a person of any age. And so our kids just don't realize that these drug dealers, they might think that they're experimenting with Oxy. They might think they're doing something else. In fact, our street drugs today are cut with fentanyl, which means that they are taking their own lives in their hands. There's no such thing as recreational drug use. Now it's life or death. Those are the choices that are being made. And Measure 110 did not distinguish between adult use and minor use. And so, you know, kids are no longer being diverted into treatment. That does not exist under 110 anymore. It's legal.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back with Christine Drazen. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1 o'clock. On tomorrow's program, an entirely different direction, we're going to do a Wine in the Umpqua feature. And Stephen Russell at Russell Prayer Rock Vineyards, celebrating his 20th anniversary as a winemaker recently. We'll get an update from him, talk about this year's harvest and more in a special Wine in the Umpqua program on Inside Douglas County. Christine Drazen on, talking about the impact of Measure 110 in a meeting that was held yesterday in Portland. Let's talk about the law enforcement side of this. I remember once the measure took effect and there was the shift in what the ticketing level was and what people were put in incarcerated for. There was a day on the police logs where someone was cited sort of in traffic ticket fashion for possession of either meth or fentanyl. Meantime, someone went to jail for stealing $2 worth of candy from a local convenience store, and that probably gets people's attention as being kind of unusual.
Yeah. What we have right now is a broken system. I mean, when we had the law enforcement in the room and we had a DA in the room, they talked about how broken this is. Minor in possession of alcohol has, you know, more consequences than a minor in possession of meth. And, you know, we have got to figure out a way to recreate some version of consequences for this so that we can prevent people from starting in the first place. So the DA that was present made a point that I thought was really, really important for these conversations. We know that our focus moving forward needs to be to get the dealers to stop the flow of supply of drugs. But the DA that was present made it really clear that how they have done that in the past is that the person that is brought in for possession or is charged with possession of these drugs, they would routinely dismiss those charges when that person gave them information that allowed them then to pursue their dealer. And they don't have that incentive anymore. They don't have that opportunity to be able to go after the dealers and then move up and continue to go up that chain all the way up to the cartel level, because they can't even begin at the bottom with someone that has possession charges. And so that has had an impact on their ability to be able to get to pursue the dealers and to stop the supply into our state. But for the part of police, they're looking for partners in this. You know, they're asking for a community mandate about what kind of a role do you want us to play. They don't want to be the only ones engaging with people that are having a crisis when they're facing addiction. They'd love to have partners with them. They would love to not, you know, put people in jail when they're facing a health crisis. And so we need to figure out what role do we want police to play in this. Because we have to have community safety, the people that are adversely impacted by crime and theft and, you know, stealing catalytic converters, and the people in the Lentz neighborhood that don't feel like they can leave their homes. They matter. They need relief. Livability is at an all-time low for them. And on the other side of it, we're looking at people that don't have an incentive to get into treatment. Addiction's very real. You know, it has taken over their lives. And that means that sometimes you need something to intervene to create a moment where they might choose to seek treatment rather than going to jail. And diversion courts aren't being used anymore because people aren't being charged anymore. And so the system is broken even in the ways that we can get people into help. We had someone who was at our roundtable yesterday whose personal story is just so, so incredibly inspiring. He says getting arrested became getting rescued for him. And we have multiple people that were there yesterday that said that they got clean and were able to turn their life around because they had some engagement with law enforcement. And they have gone on to, you know, to really, really have effective lives moving past that. But for them, it was getting arrested that helped turn their lives around. And that isn't something that we have the opportunity to intervene with anymore under Measure 110. And police are asking for clarity. You know, their role is muddied. How do you participate in restoring a sense of safety on the streets when the people actively doing open air drug deals and actively doing, you know, doing drugs on our sidewalks, they can't intervene there. They can't abate that behavior because it's not illegal. And so we have a real problem right now. We need to resolve it.
I wonder if this came up yesterday. We've heard locally here around the Umpqua Valley over the course of the shift in the inability to prosecute and kind of the shift from Measure 110, that a number of people in law enforcement have simply left the profession, not even near retirement age, but have gone to go do something else because they're frustrated. They can't do the job they trained to do.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And law enforcement is facing a crisis right now in recruitment. And, you know, I do think some of that started when there was the defund the police movement that really took off. There was a problem in morale. But now there's actively a problem in what their work lives are like and their ability to actually fulfill their mandate, what they're trained to do, is to keep communities safe and to intervene and abate. And they're not able to do that right now. And that is demoralizing for all of them because they feel the pressure. They're getting hundreds and hundreds of calls to come and take care of this situation that is, you know, a livability problem for everybody that has to be in communities that have the unpredictability of folks that are really facing addiction, but they're out on the streets. Police aren't able to intervene and help them in the same way that they have in the past. And they're also not able to help the people that are facing addiction. So yes, it absolutely has affected their ability to you know, maintain their police force at full capacity and full levels. And in Portland in particular, you know, they've added folks, they've hired folks up in Portland, but they have a long ways to go to make it through DPSST. And that's a long process as well. There's a lot of backlogs there, too. And so people are not necessarily getting out on the street as quickly as they can. So you have reduced police force. You have reduced ability for them to actually resolve these problems. And the overall feeling for folks across our state is that our communities, our streets, our neighborhoods feel less safe. And some of it's the petty theft. Some of it's the retail crime. Some of it is, you know, the property crimes, and then some of it is just livability, that it just doesn't feel safe to walk around and have your kids out there anymore.
Yeah, talk about the impact from this issue on the business community. You just mentioned a few things related there.
Yeah, we have in the metro area where we held this yesterday in particular, we have an environment where people don't feel safe coming and going from their jobs. And so people, even in the categories where they're serving folks, you know, where, so just as an example, Central City Concern in Portland, they work every single day with homeless populations and people facing addiction. And they're having struggles and challenges retaining employees, getting people to come into those roles because the level of acuity is how they talk about it for people that are in the throes of addiction, it's a lot less predictable for them. It's less safe for their employees. And for people that just work in those communities, they feel less safe because there isn't the kind of police presence that is going to be able to intervene on their behalf. And these challenges are just making everything less predictable and less safe for them. And so we have crime rates that have gone through the roof, and we have communities that are not full anymore with people going to work every day. And so the offices are less full, and then we have more people on the streets that are facing mental and behavioral health challenges. It is a situation that must be resolved. And I think to resolve it, the best path forward would be to start fresh and commit to modernizing our behavior and mental health system, increasing the amounts that we're paying folks to be in those fields so that we can draw people in as a profession, providing the support that that the people on the streets need, but providing the kind of consequences that ensure that they will take seriously the opportunity to get into diversion rather than facing the consequences of jail time. And if Democrats choose not to repeal Measure 110, at the very least, they must make it clear that drug use is not neutral. It's life or death. There is no such thing as recreational drug use. We have to get in our schools and make it clear to our kids that this is dangerous. This is not something to be experimenting with. We need our kids to stay clean, and we need to clean up our streets.
About 30 seconds left. What hopes do you have that the legislature will be able to address this in the short session?
I fully expect that the legislature will take some action on addiction in Oregon in the short session. I have to hope that Oregonians themselves will push them beyond what their special interests might be asking them to do, and for them to abandon a pro-drug stance that was brought into our state from the East Coast with the passage of Measure 110, and to instead recognize that drug use is harmful to communities and to families. And I hope that they will go as far as they possibly can politically to restore safety in our communities and get people the help that they need.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.